Tonight's tape is entitled Friends. This evening, let's examine Proverbs 18 and 24. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Friends. And I thought about this and I thought, well, friendship is the only thing in the world concerning the usefulness of which all men are agreed. We all agree we need friends. It's almost as necessary an element in the world as fire or water or air itself. You all need friends. Oh, probably a man could drag along in a miserable existence in a proud, let's say, solitary dignity. But you know, that's scarcely a life. It's nothing but an existence to have that proud, I can make it by myself, I don't need anybody attitude. There's no life at all. It's like a tree being stripped of the fruits of joy. It's a lonesome way to go. And so, to be happy, I've come to the very firm conclusion we do need friends. Hermitizing only leads to a real hard and lonesome dead end. And every day I see people who get into these no U-turns permitted zones. Don't get into that kind of an attitude where you don't allow a U-turn where you can turn around. But anyway, friendships, however, though pleasing, exceedingly blessed, I think has been the cause of the greatest misery of man. The greatest single misery of man. When it has been unworthy and unfaithful. Listen to Psalm 38 and 11. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. In other words, spiritually speaking, my afflictions, my trouble. And my kinsmen stand afar off, my relatives. Well, whatever affection they may pretend to, he's saying, they kept out of his company. They kept away from him. Because you see, he was like a sinking vessel that when it starts to go down, it draws the other boats with it. In other words, they might be made to suffer through his calamities, and they became very scarce. You will find that throughout your lives. Sometimes when you're in a mess, when you're in trouble, sometimes when you think your ship is sinking, all the little boats will row as fast as frantically away as not to suffer your calamity with you. And then again, it's very hard when those who should be first to come to your rescue are the first to desert you. And my kinsmen stand afar off. Ouch. So this is nothing new. Jesus forewarned of it. In that last, in that final hour, brother against brother, sister against sister, daughter against mother, son against father, and so on. And he warned of that hour to come. And so don't get melancholy on me now. Hey, come on now. I mean, there's other scriptures that will lift you to the heavenlies. But see, it all brings you to Jesus Christ, is what I'm going to preach here tonight. And so God knows we can't count on each other, for many times we let Him down. We let Him down all the time. But anyway, I believe David is saying here, I am so miserable that I am left alone, utterly forsaken. They stand back, aghast at my sores. In fact, they are so far back. My trouble, my sore, isn't even seen. So sometimes when it gets too heavy, people will go way back, so far back they can't even see you. Man, I can't see you. And they'll go so far back, they don't want to deal with the situation. And the Bible says, you will be hated in the house of your friends. Are you ready? Or are you ready? Are you going to be one of those in that midnight hour, and in this midnight hour of this time now, when you'll be seeing a lot of Christians in a lot of trouble, and you'll stand back or desert or whatever, you're listening on the radio. And I'm talking to pastors all the time now. Seems like I got a flood of them coming in here. But anyway, I think this is one good way to really check out how much we need grace. That His grace is sufficient. And really, how unworthy we all are. And how far we have to go is to check out what kind of friend we are. But what kind of friend we are under pressure. You know what I mean? Pressure. You know, pressure like a not being able to breathe type of pressure. And so you'll find the friendship of the world a show. And when we get into straits as Christians, sometimes we become very worldly. You can't even tell the difference. Sometimes the world has more love. Because they have to cover up. They don't have scriptures to kind of help them along to be mean with. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. They don't know all of the tricks. They don't know how to wrestle the scriptures. And so it's a mere outward show, like a statesman's promise. Looks good, but it's all very much of a delusion. But I think for the most part, this is true. Shocking, but true. The world's friendship is very brittle. Trust in it, and the Bible says you've trusted in a robber. Rely on it, and you have leaned on a thorn. Even worse, I'll say, a spear, which shall pierce you to the soul with agony. Are you hearing this? Sometimes we expect so much. When we don't get it, we're very much disappointed, and we fall into total despair. I was talking to Mick before the meeting tonight, and I said, you know, one thing we need to maintain after we've been shocked is to find the humor in a thing. And then go at it that way. Because, you know, after the shock, you look at it from a different point of view, there's always some kind of humor in the thing. If you can find yourself in it, I'll guarantee you'll find some humor in it. But oh, how puny our friendships are. Oh, how they show our very lack. Oh, how we need to see this total lack in being a true, loyal friend so that we can begin to be friends. So we can start And so to preach this makes me shrink. To preach this makes me squirm, and to preach this makes me humble. It makes me think of my lack. I want to grow. I want to go on, but how? Why now, after all this preaching, do I feel a lot of the times unloving? I mean, I believe I have come a long way. I do love people. But somehow I know it's very lacking. So I asked Jesus, Jesus, what is it that's lacking? And so Jesus answers, Paul, if you want to go on, and if you all want to go on, we have to search just a little bit deeper. And the closer you come to me, the greater the light will be, and the more you'll see your malfunction as far as being a friend. The closer you get to a real friend in Jesus, the more you'll see your lack of being a friend. You hearing this tonight? And I think we must all learn, as Solomon, that he did in all of his wisdom, he learned this. The one who sticketh closer than a brother is Jesus Christ. Oh, we read all the time about heroic things brothers do for one another. In the annals of friendship, a brother who stood over his brother's corpse so the enemy wouldn't get it. A brother who stepped in front of bullets to defend one another. Talking about friends tonight. I remember some 35 years ago, my brother was in a bar, and a man was going to fight him after it closed, and my brother could barely walk. And there was another problem there. The bar was full of relatives and friends, bloodthirsty friends. So I went out back. It was 1 a.m. in the morning, and they all came out, hooting and hollering out of this bar. I believe right then and there that I saved him from a mob beating, maybe even death. And yet Solomon says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And let's tonight look at such a friend, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for some other kind of friend? Well, isn't this a fact? How many here have experienced his great friendship? I have. His faithful friendship. I mean, he's always there, and he's always the same. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. Is that an exaggerated truth? No, of course not. The Bible says he loved you before all the worlds, before all the stars, and he has never changed. No, all of you that have tasted the love and know his grace will bear me witness that he is a very faithful, faithful friend. You fell in Adam. Did he cease to love you? No. He became the second, I should say, the last Adam to redeem you. Now we're talking about friends tonight. You sinned in practice and brought upon your own head condemnation from God. And the Bible says you deserve the wrath and his utter anger. Did he forsake you? No. No, he sent his minister after you, and you despised him. He preached the gospel in your ears, and you laughed at him, and you broke God's Sabbath. You despised his word. Did he forsake you? No. And at last, he arrested you by his grace. I arrest you. He took charge. You were saved by his arresting grace. You broke the law. And Jesus Christ arrested you for breaking the law. And his mercy saved you and took you out from under the law and brought you under the umbrella of grace, which will never leave you and never forsake you. Now, I don't care what you guys are preaching on the radio. I don't understand it. You're hearing a lot of this on the radio. A lot of legalism that Jesus came to do away with. And yet you'll hear it all the time. I guess they don't know who a real friend is, a friend in Christ Jesus. Maybe you'll never know. He made you penitent. He brought you to His feet. He forgave you all. Now, you didn't come by yourself. He first loved you. Okay, now let's get that settled tonight. You didn't decide to get saved because you were so nasty. You were so nasty, so you had to be saved. And you didn't want to be saved even then, but He saved you. He arrested you by His grace. He has ways of doing it. Don't ask me the mysteries of God. He knows how to do it. And even then, you have often left Him. Has He ever left you? Never. Never left you one time. Never. Well, a lot of times you don't call upon His name. Doesn't mean He isn't there. And you've had all kinds of trials and troubles and tribulation. Has He ever deserted you? And I want answers here tonight. No, He hasn't. Has He ever turned away His heart? Has He ever, the Bible says, shut up His bowels of compassion, mercy? Never. No, I think, children of God, it is your solemn duty to say no, emphatically no, and to preach that and to go on out and tell the world no. And bear witness to His very faithfulness. Maybe you've been in some severe affliction, even this week. Maybe you've been in some dangerous circumstances. Did your friend ever desert you then? No. Others have been faithless to you. He that eateth bread with you has lifted up his heel against you. Can you say, Master, Thou hast betrayed me? No. Could you dare say to Him, Lord, Thou hast promised what Thou didst not perform? No, you cannot. Will you not bear witness now that the Lord is faithful? Well, you were saved. Did He leave you? You were baptized. Did He leave you there? You have stood many times before the throne room of God. Did He ever deny you there? The answer is no. No, He is a friend that sticketh closer, it says, than a brother. And out of all the millions of God's redeemed, He has not forsaken one. Now, I don't care what you're hearing on the radio, and there's a lot of mishmash there. He has not forsaken not one soul that's been redeemed by the blood. Poor they have been, not forsaken. Mean, disgusting, unreasonable, unattentive, argumentative, rebellious, gossipy, murderous, hateful, unbelieving, conniving, competing, but He has never left them. No, not one. His mercy, it says in the Bible, endureth forever. See, when you start to get pickled in what a real friend is, you aren't going to worry about all these other friends. Although it's important that we do have friends, we're going to place all the importance on it. We have one that's always faithful. Do we all agree here then tonight, you listening on the radio, that He is faithful? That Jesus is a faithful friend? How many agree on that one? And so, okay, let's go on now. I think then here are some of the reasons why it is dependent upon Jesus Christ as being a faithful friend. Here are some of the reasons. I think there are some things in Himself which render it certain that He will stick close to His people. True friendship can only come from true men. Their hearts are the soul of their honor. Oh, hey. I don't know what it is nowadays. Well, I'm not going to go back and say it used to be this way, and I think there's still some of that. But there used to be, it seems to me, when you had a friend, he was a friend. Now, I don't know. What's happened to that? What's happened to that loyalty? radio audience, I think we need to examine our hearts. How faithful are we to a faithful friend? How far will you go to be a friend of Jesus? How much will you give up? How much will you render unto God? Nowadays, it seems like it's not too important to be a friend. Use people, have roommates. What happened to it? I don't know. In my family, I remember back during the war, and it was in a soldier's town. If one would attack my dad or my mother or my brother or my sister, we had a hog pile. I mean, the whole family got out there. Whatever happened to that kind of loyalty? I don't know. Where did it disappear to? Well, you say, what's the world coming to? The world is coming to hell. It's gone to hell. Now, I think we need to really get a hold of this thing and examine this. I'm hearing things out there. The other day, we were making these forms out, and they said, well, do you make forms? You ask, do people really need food? And they have all these questions for the poor. Oh, well, I said, we got something in common here. We're dirt poor and you're filthy rich. We're much the same, but the only thing is we don't question you. Where did you get your money? How did you get your money? Do you need more money? Why do you need more money? Are you sure you need more money? Jesus is going to ask those questions. Why is it we're so hard on the poor? Why do we leave them out there with no friends, so friendless to them? We don't want to show them any kind of friendship. How did you ever get in this condition? Well, sir, mister, falutin, highfalutin, fancy pants, how did you get up there? Sir Fonderoy, let me ask that question. And I'm not asking it out of a bad heart. I'm asking a question. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. How did you get that way? How did you get so stinking friendless? Now, I'm asking you and I'm giving you a chance to repent here and check out your own friendship. Do you mind if I come over and do a survey on you, sir, and go through your house and check out your banking and go through the whole thing? How did you gain this wealth? Do you deserve this much wealth? What are you going to do with this much wealth? Well, I really don't care, but don't ask these friendless people out here if they deserve a scrap of bread. That kind of sticks in my old craw. You know what the craw is? Now, we're talking about friendship here. I mean, bad men can only pretend to love one another. But their friendship, I believe, is as fragile as February ice in Minneapolis. Pretty fragile right now, isn't it? 50 degrees. Cry your hearts out, Florida. Israel. People are running over to Israel. It's cold over there, snowing! Huh? Now, see, if a man's heart is true, then you may confide in him. How many people can you think of that you can really confide in? Now, you know, if I've learned anything in my 54 years... I've learned from my mother in the very beginning, she told me, she says, don't tell everybody everything about yourself. In the first place, they really don't care. In the second place, they'll probably use it against you. Find yourself a faithful friend and stick with that friend. Or tell it to your parents, but nowadays you can't hardly even talk in your own home. You never know if they're going to use it against you or not. Come on now. Come on. How many, is this strange to yours? How many know what you're talking, what I'm talking about here tonight? Ooh. Now, only if a man's heart is true, then you may confide in him. Even when we pray sometimes, we let the cat out of the bag. Lord, I have to mention this. Lord, we did this pray for so-and-so. Lord, he did this sin and that sin and that sin and so on. And Lord, we have to tell you so you can deal. The Lord knows. You don't have to draw pictures for God. You don't have to run a movie, an X-rated movie, through your prayers. Whatever happened to friendship? Did the charismatic movement bring in more friendship and more love? No. No, it's not a movement, it's Jesus Christ. Say amen, somebody. Do we love more because we speak in tongues? Definitely not. Sometimes you can use that. Say we have love. Does prophesying over people make us better friends? No. Sometimes we use it to others' destructions. No, I want to get down to the basics here. I want to get down to the very basics here. Like I said Sunday, I think a fruit of the Spirit is work because it's not a fruit of the flesh. Nobody wants to work. When you see somebody working, they're moved by the Spirit. They're not moved by their flesh. They're not motivated. Well, even the Bible says, you can have all these things, but you don't have love. You're nothing. You're just a gong, a clanging cymbal. So let's move away from being so spiritual and just get down to the basics here and be a friend. Is that basic enough? But I mean, who can find a stain in Jesus' character? Does he not stand in heaven, the true witness, the faithful, it says, and the just? Is he not the God that cannot lie? Is not his very goodness the guarantee of his fidelity? He cannot fail us. Faithfulness to us in our faults is the certain, I believe, sign of fidelity in a friend. Do you have a friend like that tonight? Someone you can count on, I mean, just about do anything and they'll still be your friend. God, how we need to cultivate that and how we need to become Christ-like and just being, and then let's just put all these spiritual gifts aside. Now, I believe it's passed over. I really do. I think that age is past. And people have gone into so much phoniness that we need to lay aside those things and we need to look at the very basics, like being a friend. A dog even knows how to do that. And all you got to give him is a bone or some gravy train. Well, you may depend on a man that will tell you of your faults in a kind of a considerate way. But that's not being a friend. A friend is a friend when he warns you of the danger ahead. Don't do it! And maybe you'll even get mad at him. But fawning hypocrites, let's say insidious flatterers, are plastic friends. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that, gee, you look nice today. I just love your hair and so on like that. And in the back of the mind saying, gee, I hate her guts. Can't stand her. Think she's so smart. Fawning, hypocritical, phonies. Insidious flatterers, plastic friends, I said. Sort of a Maybelline people, you know, Maybelline cosmetics. In a good spiritual rainstorm, what happens to them? Their face leaves. They're a mess. Look like some kind of a ghoul. Oh, I hope you're listening on it. Send your cards in there. Phone! Call! It's not spiritual enough for you. It's the truth. But I know it'll be a friend. It'll start out with a friendly letter, Dear Pastor Paul. And that'll be phony too, won't it? It'll be about that fat, and it'll burn your hands before you even open it up. I love you in Jesus, but few things I thought I might drop on you. A few atom bombs that you might need. Now, someone has got to get down to the very basics and down to the nitty-gritty where the tire hits the road and scratch a little gravel, raise a little dust, throw a little mud. Because true friends put enough trust in you to tell you openly of your faults. One who won't run all over the place telling this one and that one what he doesn't like about you. Sometimes when preachers do preach the truth, people thank him for it. But they won't like him any better for it. Now, I used to evangelize, and I used to go out, and I'd drop my bombs, and I could leave. But see, when you're in church and you preach truth, it's a little different story. Oh, that was such a good message. Oh, I feel I'm going to change. Oh, I repent and everything. And then you just leave. Great big sack of money, and everything was fine, see? But you stay in one place and be a friend that sticks. And sticks and just keeps right on sticking and tells the truth. Well, that's a little different story, isn't it? I've called out where I'm at tonight here, haven't I? I'm saying let's get realistic. Let's lay aside all of our spirituality. And I believe that movement is totally dead. I, honest to God, I really believe it's dead. And praise God for it too. It needed to die a couple years ago. It's got so many puffed up people walking around, they're floating 4 feet up off the ground. Now, it isn't that bad, but there's a stink to it because it's that old air in there. How many are hearing this? My God. And we just need to come back to the very basics. We need to cultivate being a friend, not cultivate ourselves for more spirituality. How can you be spiritual when you can't even be a friend? When you can't even prove yourself to be friendly. No, I think praise is a thing we all love. And I think it's all right if we don't live for it. Have you ever seen somebody living for praise? Living for praise. Center stage. Got to be center stage all the time. Stand waiting for it. Sometimes you'll see that with musicians. You ever seen that when they'll get all done and they'll sing the song, and I was in enough of that atmosphere as a young person, and they'll get all done singing the song, and then the hands go down like this, and they go. Fawning. And then wait until every clap is drained out of everybody. We don't need that.
People don't even sleep sometimes if it doesn't come their way. Praises of men.
Well, I wouldn't sleep at all as of late. I was waiting for the praises of men. But I'll tell you one thing, Jesus has become very dear to me. Are you hearing this? I guess that's when you know more about Jesus. When you get close to a friend. How are you ever going to learn how to be a friend unless you get close to one? That's the trouble. We don't want to get close to one another. Might cost us something. No, Jesus never flatters us. No, he tells us our faults truly. Does he not prick you in your conscience on things you thought to gloss over? Conveniently not to mention them? Whitewash them? Like little secret sins? Like little mads we have? Has he not provoked your conscience with a 100-piece band in your ears? Notes of terror because of your misdeeds? Well, then you may trust him because of his faithfulness, which makes him very trustworthy. You know when you do wrong, you get that prick in your conscience, and it's like a 100-piece band, and they're roaring in your mind. You can't even hear what people are saying. You're so busy, and your friend is trying to get your attention. The bugles start up, and the band starts up, da-da-da-da-da, and the drums beat. Toot-toot-toot-de-beat-de-beat, bang-clang-boom-bang, and you can't even hear anybody. Why? Jesus, your friend, is trying to tell you something. Look out, you're going too fast. He's trying to tell you something. But we're so busy with all of that band going on and all of that confusion going on in our mind, Jesus can't get through. And so you may trust him because of his faithfulness. That 100-piece band you're hearing, that confusion that you're going through right now, is because you're pretending that you don't hear it. And so you see, there are reasons within himself for which we may trust him. And I think there's also some things in his friendship which render us sure of not being deceived when we put our confidence in him. Oh, how we need to grow in that. How we need to become Christ-like and have confidences with people. That we won't break. No, I think true friendships are not grown hastily. It's like a flower. Let it get roots, and then let it get a stalk, and then let it get a bud, and then let it bloom. Stop bothering it at the root stage, at the very beginnings. Sometimes you see people that scare people off. So many expect a blossomed fellowship from a seed right away. So anxious to have fellowship and so anxious to gather people in right away and run over there and grab a hold of them. We love you. How do you know you love somebody that quick? Come on now. How about nurturing it a little bit? How about like treating it like a flower? How about letting the roots get going and then the stalk come and then the bud come and then the bloom come? How about giving it a chance? How about letting it breathe? I think we ought to be cool. We ought to back off sometimes. And don't push and don't become possessive. Mine, mine, my friends, my friends, my friends. Don't expect too much too soon like Jonah. The gourd, it says, came up overnight and withered in the night. Because a lot of times friendship is real true when it begins, but will it be able to stand the hot sun?
No, I think we must have man's friendship long before we can say to him that we will stick closer than a brother. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's why so many people are so disappointed. Oh, here, I thought he was such a neat fella and such a nice guy. Gosh. Huh?
I thought to myself, how long has Christ Jesus loved you?
It says in the Bible, and this is a mystery, before the foundations of the world were even founded, Jesus Christ loved you. Before the ages were born, it's saying. When the world was a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes of mist, he loved you. Before the pyramids, if we can kind of date it, his heart was set upon you. And ever since you were born, he's had a strong affection for you. Have you ever wondered, why was I born? Why am I living? What's it all about, Alfie? Have you ever wondered that? Well, there's a reason for it. You were born of God. God knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. Now, don't try to figure that out with your frontal lobes. It won't happen. But that's a love, isn't it? He loved you before all your mistakes that he knew you were going to make before you made them. Now maybe you're gray, maybe you're bald, but still his love goes on. What a mystery. See, his friendship is so old that it must last. It has been matured, let's say, by many tempests. It has been rooted by so many winds of trouble that it must stand. Even like the granite mountain and that granite mountain peak, it won't melt like the young snow. It's braved the blast and stood the heat of the burning sun. Oh, how we need to nurture friendship, become Christ-like in that before we move on to the higher spiritual things. How spiritual can we be if we can't even be friendly? Well, it says, be friends with all men as much as is within you. Well, that's meaning there's going to be some people that you will be able to be friends with more readily than others. Sometimes you are not just with people. It isn't you don't love them and you don't care for them. You're just not with them. Are you hearing this tonight? No, it's braved the blast and stood the heat of the burning sun. It has stood out, always catching in its face every blow from the fist of nature. And yet unmoved and uninjured. And it shall last, for it has lasted. When the end comes, his friendship will still abide. You listening on the radio, don't think that a friendship in a bar will last. So many now are running off to bars. Oh, we went to the bar. We didn't drink. We had a Shirley Temple. What's a Shirley Temple? What is a Shirley Temple? Has it got a big curl in it or something? Or the good ship lollipop? What is it? Or maybe you want to go someplace where you might meet someone at a drug party. Potted friends. No, I think friends are better things than those which grow in the hothouse of pleasure. So many are running off to that. Well, I just want to have fun. Huh? What kind of fun are you going to find out there? Take it from this old buzzard. There ain't none out there. There ain't no friends out there. Say amen, somebody. And until we live
amen, somebody. Even almost sometimes the worst to your enemies.
God. Hey, mark it down what I'm saying here, you listening on the radio. Scripture will bear out what I'm saying here.
No, friendship is more lasting and a more lasting plant than those.
Give me a friend that's born in the winter. Give me a rainy, rainy weather friend.
Somebody that understands rainy weather.
I think I heard a song like that on the radio. Wasn't there a song like the rainy weather friends? Something, I don't know. Isn't there a rainy weather friend? Something. But give me one of those.
Someone that suffered some afflictions. That's the kind of friend I want. Someone that's going through or has gone through the same thing you're going through.
Come on now. And yet, sometimes they won't even be friends. See, because they've been, sometimes they go through the very same thing and they pass through it. And so, oh, heck with you, I went through my thing. And they don't want to get on that. They don't want to get near you. Isn't that strange? I really think that's strange. I certainly don't believe it's Christ-like. Do you? Now, we got some questions here. Hard questions. You listening on the radio? Thumbing through your Bibles, trying to find all them counter scriptures. They use the Bible. They wrestle. I think they almost box with it. They counterpunch. Counter hold and try to get in for the pin.
But believers, do you have any reason, any cause to believe that Jesus Christ will ever leave you? No, you do not. And listen, a friend acquired by folly, by foolishness, is never a lasting friend. By foolishness. Gee, I like the way you dance. I love you. Let's get married because we dance alike. I never thought I'd find someone that was could dance like this. Wow! What's that got to do with being a friend?
Has it got anything to do with it?
Foolishness. Do a foolish thing and make a friend and you will soon find out it won't last.
People do that all the time. Oh, I thought to myself, how many friendships are springing up from the mere fruit of sentimentalism? The jukebox pops on.
Having no root whatever, someone sees someone from a smile, from a hank of hair, or a crowded room. Isn't there a song like that? Some enchanted evening, you will see a stranger.
And they build a whole big love affair off of someone that's across a cigar-smoked room.
And everybody that listens to that song sort of falls into that spirit.
And somehow you'll know her, you'll know, isn't that what he goes? You'll know even then.
How are you going to know that?
Well, if you're a Christian, you'll discern it.
I know a lot of times our discerners are off. Huh? How many have you discerned, you girls listening on here now, how many have you discerned that was your perfect mate for you?
Never worked out. And vice versa.
Are you out there looking across
a smoke-filled room some enchanted evening to see a matchmaid come in? Is that what you think a friend is going to be? Well, how some people have a knack of starting up little sentimental friendships on people they don't even know. And they write letters to them. Dear Sally, and they can start up a million friendships. How shallow! Have you ever seen anybody like that? They can start up little friendships. They're so good at starting up little friendships and smiling up into each other's faces. Oh, oh, oh. And that's their main course on the menu, is making friends. But it's not the right kind of way to make a friend. There's sacrifice involved. It's just not looking at someone you like the way they look or their profile. Huh? Or the way they laugh. Oh, that's such a cute laugh. I love it. That's how shallow it is. We like people by their personality. And if someone's real quiet and real retiring and they're a good worker and they mind their own business, oh, they're nice, but they're so drab. A drag, a bore. Give me a drag and a bore any day over somebody that's superficial. Say amen, somebody. Give me the steady, reliable, always there person. To the one that's always got a joke. Hey, did you hear the one about so-and-so? Oh, here he comes. He's got a million. Isn't he fun? And he keeps 14 people busy listening to his corny jokes. And nothing gets done. Oh, you're a spoil sport. You're not fun. I'm not here to be fun. I'm here to serve Christ. And I'll have fun doing that, and so will you. What is having fun anyway? Guy told me, he says, don't you have any fun? When do you have fun, guy? Come on now, tell me, when do you have fun? I said, what do you call fun? I call it being able to get out of bed in the morning. That's fun for me. All right, Steve? I get out of bed in the morning and I feel I'm having fun. And a lot of times in my lifetime, that irritated people. I mean, you know, you get up and you're full of what? Fun. And they hate you because you're full of fun. You're no fun. You're fun at the wrong time. Is there a time for having fun? Well, I believe there is. But I mean, you can have joy and have fun on your inner person without walking around like a smiling Chessie cat all day long. A phony kind of fun. But people have a knack, I said, of starting up little sentimental friendships. Don't you just love her? Don't you just love him? And they've only met him for like 10 minutes. Aren't they great? Huh? That's all right. But a lot of times it doesn't last. Giggling and grinning, plastic glee. Only to discard for somebody else they see. Well, they were real neat, but here's a neater person. It's kind of like the muscle building thing. guy kicked sand in the guy's face, and he went out and he took a muscle building thing. Why did you get to be such a muscle man? Well, they kicked sand in my face. And so then the guy that kicked the sand in his face, then he went out, he built muscles so he could get this guy back. He got bigger muscles. Huh? And we're always going for the greater fun person, or the more spiritual person, or the person that can be more fun for our flesh. See, they want them all. The long and the short and the tall. There's a song like that. I won't be able to sing it. But they end up with none. They end up with no friends. Because you see what they do is they pull them up by the roots in fellowship till their petals fall off. And then they go off to the next one. And they go and they pull this plant up. Oh, you are my friend. And they shake all the roots and the dirt off. Ooh, choke the life out. All the petals fall off. They throw the ditch. Look for another friend. Ooh, here's one. Ooh, huh? How shallow. They are the simple flirt or the gigolo. No depth, no loyalty, no compassion, and certainly no love. Some even enter into churches and flatter young budding Christians. They force bloom them. Well, you come here. And they go in and they pick a little flower of youth and growing in Christ up out of the seed and pick it. You are a prophet, O fair flower of the meadow. Go out and prophesy. Oh, I hope this gets you in the craw. It's the truth. No compassion, I said, no loyalty, no depth, and certainly no love. And so they force bloom them, make them rotten with flattery and in prophecy, and then dump them. That's what they do out there. Have you ever seen these movies? They had them years ago, and the girl would go into this room, and there, and the movie people would look, and okay, hoist your skirts. Huh? You're beautiful! You're gonna be in pictures, huh? And they end up like that movie with Betty Davis, where she gave her sister a rat. What was the name of that? Baby Jane? Baby Jane? All wrinkled and everything, and still trying to play the part of Shirley Temple with the curls down the back and all these wrinkles and everything. Wasn't that a good movie? Didn't it show you something? Somebody force bloomed that child and it never grew up. Walking around an ugly child. I mean, homely. Come on, there's nothing more homely than someone that's 50 or 60 years old that someone had force bloomed. Are you hearing this? Oh, God. Are you hearing this? Now, I think churches have put up signs. Do not pick the flowers. I think you ought to put that in our homes sometimes. When one of these, maybe it's even a Bible-toting young man. Is your daughter home? with a three-piece suit on and them pointed shoes. I think we ought to put signs up, do not pick the flowers. Some come into churches and pick whole bouquets. Take them home and stick them in their fellowship vase. Oh, look at the fruit in here. If it would only be cultivated, it needs me. Oh, thank you, God. They pick, and they take them over, and they get them into their little fellowship, and they stick them in a vase, and that's where they die. And that's what's happened. There's so many dead flowers laying around, all withered and laying on the ground, their roots up in the air. Pretty sad, ain't it? See, when they start to wilt, you know where they go, don't you? The dump. Oh, you're like one of those that was thrown on rocky soil and just perished in the hot noonday sun. Also, there is a friendship, I believe, and I got to mention this, of ignorance. It's not a very desirable one. I don't want any man to call me his friend if he does not know me. You won't know if he's your friend or not. Whew. Let him love me in proportion to his knowledge of me. Do you still love me now? Here, read the book on my life, and then when you get done, then you can call me a friend, if you can stomach it. Then you can call me your friend. Some just scan your face, you know what I mean? Surface. Say, you know what? I love it. Love it. Love your laugh. Get a kick out of you, guy. Love you. Hi, friend. Every time I see it, it brings joy to me. Joy. Well, you don't have to go home with me. You don't have to work with me. You don't have to suffer with me. No, I knew right off we were going to make it. Yes, I did. Yes, as I certainly did. I knew we were going to make it. I knew we were made for each other. And they desire to say, that person is my friend. People say sometimes, I have a great affection for that person because, and then they mention the reason. You remind me so much of my dad, or whatever. No, that's ignorance, and it won't last. But our Lord accepts us no matter what. He saw our disease, and He loved us. He saw our leprosy, and He loved us. He saw our deceitfulness, and He loved us. He saw our unbelief, and He loved us, and hugged us, and hugged us right to His bosom, the Bible says. So you see, He does stick closer than a brother, because He knows us inside out, and He still loves us. Don't you think we ought to start to cultivate some of that Christ-likeness? And then again, there's a friendship and a love to be real. You know what it lies in? It lies in not in words, but in deeds. I think we live in a world now where friendship is a bare compliment. Someone gives you a compliment, and then they're your friend. You know what? I've been watching you. I am so impressed. I am so impressed by you. Now that's all right. But that doesn't necessarily make that person a friend. A bare compliment. But that's how shallow we've become. I think it's the fashion of the age to flatter one another and not to do anything in the matter of deeds for one another. I think the world right now is the great house of Shamaroo. I think there are very few real things to be discovered. Phony teachers, phony used car salesmen, phony mechanics, phony cafes, phony carpenters, phony governments in our world who use a sort of a phony voice in front of the camera and sort of a phony smile in front of the camera. And then the preacher adopts a phony voice behind the pulpit. He adopts sort of a sanctimonious voice, and they fill their mouth with, let's say, inflated utterances, or else they whine pitifully. Nothing but phonies. They may even degrade the pulpit by pretending to honor it, speaking in a voice God never intended any mortal to have. More like a vamp. Are you hearing this? You hear it all the time. Pretense. Pretend. Well, where is the friendship in it? Where is it? Whatever happened to just being a friend? And so I think this is the great house of phonyism. And such little things show which way the winds blow, though, don't they? We drop off our business cards as an act of friendship. Well, here's my card. Here, call me anytime, any morning, noon, or night for anything. I mean it. I doubt it. Do you really mean that? Call you for... Give me your billfold. Take off your coat. Take off your shirt. Give me your watch. Well, wait a minute now. I said anything, but I mean, you know what I meant by anything. Well, what did you mean by call you any time of the morning, noon, or night, and for anything? What did you mean by that? Give me a definition so I don't overstep the bounds of our friendship. What is the bounds? Hi and goodbye? Well, then I know that. Then I know where I'm at with you. But isn't there a whole lot of shallowness like that? Call me anytime for anything. Or to write, yours truly. My dear sir, do we mean that? Of course not. The next letter is either you fork over and send the cash you owe, or I'll put you out of business, dear sir. I think dear is a very sacred word. It ought to be used on those we love very, very much. Oh, and somebody's saying, but hey, it's just common courtesy. No, it's a lie. I think we should stop lying to one another and admit, radio audience, that we need to develop friendship. Isn't there a song? Friendship, friendship, da-da-da-da-da-da, huh? I think we should stop lying to one another and build a growing friendship one block at a time on a firm foundation. I know the people in here tonight. I know that we've built a friendship on a good, firm foundation. Boy, that's nice to know. Block upon block. Oh, hey, there's nothing richer in the world, take it from me, than building a friendship one block at a time and knowing from whence you came and where you stand with people. Are you hearing this? Sometimes people want to put the roof on before the basement goes in. But when Jesus says, dearly beloved, he backs it up with the blood and with his life, and I'm closing. Yes, he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Some growing richer nowadays and can't be our friends anymore because now they are greater. Or they are traveling with a more spiritual group, and so we cannot be seen with such lowly, lowly people. Or else a friend grows poor, and so the rest forsake him, or he gets in trouble and the rest forsake him. But Jesus Christ, who owns everything, became, it says in the Bible, as a worm. Yes, he definitely is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Definitely so. And so let me encourage some of you people listening on the radio. The qualities of our friends, and I'm saying this with some deep thought, I gave it some thought before I even got this together. The quality of your friends will be those of your enemies. Cold friends, cold enemies. Half friends, half enemies. Hot friends, hot enemies. When enemies have spoken out fiercely, then just think. Your friends love you hard and fast. In the measure that you're hated, the same measure you are loved by your real friends. God, it says, raises up a standard. And by the way, why give your enemies so much attention? How about those friends? How about giving some attention to your friends? You listening tonight, is Jesus Christ your friend? Oh, how we need the love of Jesus Christ. Shed, it says in the Bible, abroad in our hearts. See, because his love will not cast out, no. Mother love, father love, daughter love, son love, it will just become more sweet. Now we need to share like never before what a friend we have in Jesus with others and stop lying at least so much. Tonight's message was entitled, Friends. Let's think about that. I'm really thankful for the people that are in here tonight and some of the other people. It's like the prophet said, well, there's nobody here. There's no Christians here. There's none of God's people. And he says, no, there's 7,000 of them. They're all over. And remember, in the heat of the battle, and when people slander you and say all manner of evil against you for Christ's sake, great is your reward in heaven. And not only that, when they do that, as powerful as they are being enemies, as more powerful are your friends. Isn't that a comforting thought? And Jesus becomes more real to you. So I've given a message that I've lived, not just now, but even before that I was born again. And I think that a lot of times that our messages come from life and what we've been through. And so you can praise God in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's all I got to say tonight, but just think on that. Isn't it great to have friends? Don't you think we should start to look more at our friends and to cultivate that friendship? And to not that, but to cherish it. Not to take it for granted or take it lightly. Say, my God, there's a real friend. And when you see somebody developing into a friend, well, you know, nurture it. Help it along. Teach people how to be friendly. Friends. I just want two quick comments from the radio audience, or for the radio audience tonight, from a couple of people in here that got something that'll help radio audience about friends. Anybody? Anybody in the balcony? Forgive me, I need to do that every time. I need friends. Bible says, I mean, the world says, the more the merrier. I wonder about that. It isn't always the more the merrier. It really isn't. Friends. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for this message about friends. I want to thank you for these friends. I want to thank you for the friendly radio audience that's out there that have proven themselves over and over and over again to be friends of this ministry. And they've sent in here to help keep this mission going. God bless you, my friends on the radio out there. God bless you so much. Thank you for your support. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen.